welcome to the world famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, and as well, TuneIn. So if you got the TuneIn app and you're tuned in, Jack, you're tuned in, man. You're listening to what it is that we are doing. You are listening to what it is we are. And on Sunday night, we'll be at the Eureka Theater, and that's in San Francisco, and that's going to be at 8 o'clock.
Now, you got a call time. It's 7:30.
You don't tell people about the call time, you blithering idiot. Hold on. You know, thank you, bud. Yes, there is a call time, but that's only something I have to worry about. You guys don't have to worry about that.
You're being blithering idiot.
You don't tell people about the call time. Phil, that tell people what the call time is, Phil.
That's when I'm supposed to be at the theater.
See?
Well.
See?
Okay.
See?
All right, take it easy, will you, for God.
Phil, you just said take it easy. You told me that.
All right, you're right. I did say take it easy. Thank you, General, for that. That was the other phrase I was thinking about yesterday. I said, I'm saying a lot of these same phrases. Take it easy and some other goofy thing. This here, yeah, we say that.
You say this here show or this here, you say, yeah.
Well, I'm just saying when you use these sorts of, what would you call it, Robert?
Well, it's not a technical stuff.
But okay, that's fine. But thank you, bud. I do have a call time for 7:30, and I will be there. So it's going to be fun. I've been looking over some of my notes. I've been looking at some things. I've been musing. I've been walking about my home. I've been walking about the living room there, looking out through the glass at the beauty of the Pacific Ocean, even though I'm a full block away, and if someone ever put a second story in the house next door, I wouldn't see it at all.
Well, Phil, I don't think you're going to get any sympathy from people. They're going to say that you've got quite the beautiful home, don't you think?
No, not necessarily. I've got a very... I don't want to talk about my house, but what I'm saying is today I was walking about the premises going over the notes and going over what I want to do. And it really occurred to me how much I'm looking forward to this.
Well, that's good.
It is. I'm really looking forward to it. A lot of people... I'm surprised at how much I'm looking forward to it, because as much as I like to perform, being on stage in front of the eyes that are looking at you can be very disquieting. You've heard of this phenomenon called stage fright. And I have to tell you, there was a time, I think, in my life, I think I shared this. Didn't I, bud?
Yeah, tell people about a time when you didn't even know how to talk good.
No, it wasn't that you didn't know how to talk good. You couldn't talk.
Yes.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding.
And when did this happen?
This was the very first time that I ever opened a microphone in my life in the radio business. I was 20 years of age. I was working at WBJW. What are you writing down, bud?
Just in case of the FCC.
He has to write that down for the FCC, doesn't he?
Because of WBJW?
Yeah, well, now, Phil...
Hold on, General. I got it. Because of WBJW.
Yes, because of WBJW. Do you want to start Do you want to really talk about this here? Or should we get David on the phone?
No, we don't need to get David on the phone for that, you guys. That's just ridiculous. Don't write that down, bud. Scratch that out.
Mr. Hall's going to want to look at it.
Mr. Hall ain't going to look at nothing. Do you understand?
Yeah, man. Scratch it out. You can't do it.
Yeah, Mr. Henry said. Wait. I'll do it. Give me that.
All right.
Where's the eraser? Don't lick your finger and give me the eraser, man.
Well, that's the only way you can erase it, ink.
Yeah, I don't have no ink eraser. I use my finger and a little bit of spit.
That's what she said.
Oh, man.
Margaret, you didn't say that.
Why am I not allowed to say that?
Oh, Miss Gray, that was foul, Miss Gray. Yeah, now I really gotta call David.
Margaret.
What did I say that was so bad?
That's what she said?
Yes, he said I...
Don't repeat it. All right.
Yeah, it said I used my finger, a little bit of spit.
I said don't repeat. I'm going to kick someone's ass today just for fun, man. Just to keep the art up, as my dear father used to say. Where is that...
Right here.
I don't want your finger with spit on it. You don't have any... Well, I'm just going to scratch this out with a pen then. See?
Hey, you messed it all up. Everything's all messed up now.
Come on, man. You got another piece of paper. Bud, why don't you just use another piece of paper? That was the only thing you had written on it.
Yeah, but it was a nice, clean piece.
Don't say it.
What? That's what she said?
You know, just... Bud, get another piece of paper. You don't have to have that piece of paper.
Yeah, but it was nice and clean.
Well, now it ain't, man.
Yeah, on account of you.
Well, I guess I butchered that to pieces, so go get another piece of paper and write down the right stuff. Don't write down the wrong stuff, and we'll be just fine. Okay?
Just got a tweet here, Phil. Someone's asking about the, quote, gay shirt you're wearing. I love it. I think it's a beautiful shirt.
Let me look at your shirt, Phil. Well, it is a little... It is a bit effeminate.
No, it's not effeminate. What are you talking about?
What does that mean, Sammy?
The shirt. What's effeminate about it?
Well, what are those designs?
Those are paisley designs. It's a black and white shirt, folks, in case you want to... It's a black shirt, basically, and it has white paisley designs. So it's... It's really not all that garish at all. It's a black shirt with white paisley designs.
Well, that's what they're saying. It looks just a little bit effeminate, as if there is a femininity that you're trying to express. I'm not saying that it is.
I like this shirt.
Well, let me look at it again. Effeminity. Well, there is a femininity to the paisley, but nonetheless, I think paisley, if I'm not mistaken... Paisley represents a hallucinogenic or drug experience, which is decidedly masculine, wouldn't you say?
No, I wouldn't say that it represents...
So it's not masculine.
I wouldn't say it represents a drug experience. Nonetheless, I like this shirt. Thank you, Margaret, for checking in. So, folks, for those of you who'll be with us on Sunday night, I hope you enjoy yourself. Do we really have to talk to Mr. Hall?
Just so he's clear on the WBJW.
Anyway, I want to get back to that story, okay? And don't let me forget, because we forget about more things on this show. I want to get back to the story of why it was that I, or what happened, you know. And I was starting to talk about stage fright and the fear that you have, and it's very understandable. People have it in all walks of life. There are people that give presentations. There's people that will give a speech. There are people that are conducting seminars. There's people that conduct that are. I wonder if teachers get stage fright.
Oh yes.
Like just a teacher, the first day that a teacher is in a classroom?
I would think so.
Yes, my brother-in-law is a teacher. He taught in grammar school. Frank's brother, he taught in grammar school. He taught high school. He eventually started to teach junior college. I think he's teaching at the four-year level now. Or I don't know, maybe he's retired by now. He must be retired by now. But he told us about stage fright. He said it's very, very common. Especially with teachers.
How did he deal with it?
Well, he kept a waste paper basket handy because the way it articulated itself with him was he would walk in, and I think Frank told me this story, or maybe, I don't know if Garrett told me himself. Garrett is Frank's brother. But he said he would walk in, look at the class, say good morning, and then vomit into the waste paper basket. But he always grabbed it first, so he'd be standing in front of the class holding the waste paper basket.
That would look, that would almost tip it off.
I got a much bigger question. What do you mean it would tip it off?
Well, if you walk in and you're holding and you say good morning and let me just grab this waste paper basket and hold it in front, I would be in the class thinking, well, that man's going to vomit, so everything that he has to say to me, I'm going to filter through the... Through the vomit episode.
Meaning what?
Yes, what does that mean?
Well, I would know whether this man was to be followed and to be trusted. If he's vomiting into a waste paper basket, I don't care what he's got to say to me about Pythagoras or about the F.A.
Okay, that's very well said, not. All right, we'll get with David Hall. We got a break here. We have a commercial coming up.
Well, what was not well said about it?
What was not well said about it?
Well, you talk about how you're going to, if a guy throw up into a waste paper basket.
Yes, what about it? Do you expect me to sit in the classroom and go, yes, Mr. Brown, 2 + 2 = 4, you just vomited into a waste paper basket, so I don't trust anything you've got to say.
Better get some water.
I don't need any water.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. All right, back with David G. Hall. Other things to talk about tonight. The Lufthansa heist at Kennedy. Do you remember the Lufthansa heist at Kennedy when in Goodfellas? When, Ray Liotta's character is pounding the tile in the bathroom as he's taking a shower and goes, Jimmy, you did it! Remember that? Well, guess what? There is one final defendant, or maybe more, who has pled not guilty in this. And we're going to be talking about that as well here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, online at philhendryshow.com, on the air on TuneIn, and also, of course, on a radio station hopefully coming to your neck of the woods, or the radio station still exists, or exists in your neck of the woods, and our show will be coming to you. Yeah, that's what I mean to say. Anyway, welcome back to the program. Why are you looking at me like that?
You're with the hand, Phil. You know, it's very, it looks as if you've got a problem with, well...
But yeah, if the final stage of Lou...
Yeah, the final stage of Lou Gehrig's disease.
How do you know what that looks like?
Oh, well, God, excuse. Did you see the look on...
Phil, we're just having fun.
No, I don't think there's anything funny about that.
Well, excuse me then, Phil. We'll go ahead, Bud. We'll go back to making... Shut your mouth, Bud. We'll go back to making dystrophy jokes. Is that better?
No, I just... Never mind. Everybody on edge tonight?
I feel great. I've never felt better in my life. I'm going to get another cottage cheese. I'm getting another bowl of those. I like to have the bowl of vanilla wafers.
That's great. Go get your vanilla wafers then, Gramps.
What bug got up her ass?
No, hold on.
Wait a minute. What? Yeah, that's a good question. What bug did get up your ass?
Up my... Can you believe this? I'd like to address myself to the women in the audience.
Margaret, what just... You're talking to everybody. You look, you're on more of an edge than me.
Excuse me. I want to talk to the women in the audience. Did you hear what Mr. Hendry just asked me? What bug got up my ass? So he is evidencing an interest in a part of my body.
Never mind. Forget it. All right. David G. Hall has joined us over at the Perry Boy Diner, or is it the cafeteria in Pasadena, David?
Yeah, Phil, we are at the Perry Boy Diner, and I want to just mention something. Daphne is over. She's getting some pudding from me, and she also has the radio. I asked her to go outside. She's got the TuneIn app. I want her to listen to, I think you need to tweak the EQ, and excuse me, folks, if I'm saying something that's a little bit beyond the understanding of a lot of listeners and technical, I think you need to sharpen the high end on the phone calls, the people that you're using on the newsmaker line.
Yeah.
All right, that particular line I think needs to have the high end sharpened. So Daphne, she's giving me the thumbs down. She says the phone line sounds, she says it's muddy, it's bad. She's shaking her head. She's putting her hand on her throat. Good God. Tweak the high end a little bit, Phil.
Tweak the high end.
Yeah, just give me a little more high end on the phone call. How's it sound now, baby? Hey, baby. How's it sound now? She says more. Tweak more of it.
Okay.
All right. How's it sound now, babe? Nope, not enough. Tweak some more. What's it sound like? Phil, did you tweak it?
Yeah.
Well, she says it's no different. She says she's holding her throat now, and she's pretending like she's throwing up.
Will you come on, please?
Hold on. What's it sound like, baby? Baby. Hey, baby. Get a load of her. She's talking to some guy in uniform. Do you love that about a woman? I'm talking to you, yeah. Tweak it some more.
Tweak what?
Turn the high end up. How's it sound now, baby? Now she says it sounds way... Turn it back the way it was.
Okay, thank you very much, David. We're not going to do any more of that.
Well, she was trying to... You know, I'm just...
No, we're not going to do any more of that. Thank you very much.
Hold on for this. Hey, baby. Who are you talking... What are you doing talking to a guy? She's talking to a guy.
What are you, Robert De Niro in Raging Bull? Just leave her alone. I need to talk to you.
He says I'm coming on like Roger. He says I'm coming on like Roger De Niro. I don't know.
Robert De Niro.
Who?
Robert De Niro in Raging Bull.
Robert De Niro in Raging Bull? She's going over. She's talking to a soldier. Apparently the guy's missing a leg or something. Is he a soldier? He's not a soldier. He's a homeless guy. All right.
Hey, David, can I ask you a question?
Phil, I'm here for you, you know.
No, I got to ask you a question. Why did you say the guy was a soldier, and...
From this distance, I didn't see the leg, so I made an assumption. What? She said it. The guy lost it from diabetes, so I made the assumption. Now, he was dressed in a Hawaiian shirt, and he's got on a baseball cap.
And you assumed that was a soldier?
Well, yeah. And then she came over, and she said the guy is not in the Army. He lost his leg from diabetes. And she let him butt in line, so he's getting pudding, and I don't get any pudding. Thanks a lot.
All right, David, are we all finished with that?
Yeah, we're finished with it. Sorry. Jeez.
I mean, you got me tweaking the high end.
Well, I'm telling you, the phone call sounded like butt. What? She says to turn the high-end...
I'm not doing any more of the high-end tweaking. The question on the table here is, what is it that you require of us in terms of material?
All right, Bud said to me that you said that you started your career at WBJW in Winter Park, Florida, correct?
That's correct.
All right, I have to ask you to stop, not do that, you know, because... Do I have to explain?
Yeah, no, you don't have to explain. My question for you, though...
No, there's no discussion.
Well, there's a little bit of discussion. First of all, the radio business is in such poor repair these days. Are people really... Does anybody really give a damn whether they're going to get fined? Is the FCC even fining radio stations anymore? I mean, most stations are going belly up. They can't afford to keep the lights on. And you're worrying about me saying WBJW.
Would you please watch it, Phil? Would you please... You know, I've got a... If you don't mind losing your job, I mind losing mine.
I don't think we're going to get fined for that, all right? If it's all the same to you.
All right, now, what was the other thing that Margaret said? Bud said it was far more egregious. When he said that he was using his finger and a little bit of spit for an eraser, Margaret said that's what she said.
Yes, that's exactly what I said, David, and I meant nothing untoward. It was a cute little quasi...
Well, I found it more tasteless than anything else, David. I don't think it was obscene.
Tasteless? Are you listening to this man and the things he does on the air every night?
Margaret, I know that, but I can't have you talking about a finger with... We cannot have any reference to fingers with spit. I can't do it. I can't go there. I won't go there.
Well, what do you think is going to happen?
What do I think is going to happen? I think Phil is going to get bounced off every radio station he's on.
Well, Phil says, what difference does it make if we're on TuneIn?
what did he say?
Well,
nothing. It's fine. No, it's great. You're right, David. We will take that under advisement.
Oh, wait a second.
What are you trying to do?
I'm sorry.
All right, so let's get back to where we were, wherever that was. Oh, yeah, now I remember. So there I was, 20 years of age. I'm sitting there in Winter Park, Florida, and I am about to open the microphone for the very, very first time. And as I open the microphone for the very first time, because I'm worried, you know, what am I going to say? How's it going to sound? These are the things that, you know, these are the things that can cause the, I don't know, can cause the kind of fear that will bounce somebody right out of the business. So what I did was I got ready. I opened the mic. And then... Did I ask you for a sound effect?
Get out of here, will you?
Well, Phil, I thought it worked very well.
Phil, I thought the fart was good.
Do you really? I'm trying to tell a story, bud.
Oh, I thought you wanted you need a punchline.
I don't need no punchline to a story. I'm talking... So there I am in Central Florida, and it's my very first night on the air. I open the mic. You want me to kill you? Because that's fine. You know, I can do that.
That's against the law.
What is?
Killing someone.
No, I'm talking to Bud. What is?
Killing somebody.
And you're laughing, too.
Well, Mr. Henry, you don't have to kill him.
I don't? Yes, I will. I'll kill you, Bud, and I'll take my chances in prison. How's that feel? How does that,
You tell me that you got nothing to lose, just like a four-time loser.
Not a four-time loser, you clown. Three-time.
Yeah, a three-time loser.
Okay, so I'm a three-time or a four-time loser. I'll kill you and take my chances in... Never mind.
Oh, come on, Phil. Grow up a little bit, will you? It's a long way to 10 o'clock here on the El Pacifico.
Yeah. So I opened the mic to say my very first words professionally, and I froze. I couldn't speak.
Now, what do you mean you couldn't speak?
I mean that when I opened my mouth to say something, the only thing that came out was... Okay, I get it already, all right?
You're pretty good, though. Yeah, give me five.
Yeah, get out of here with the guinea five. When I opened my mouth to speak, nothing came out. I literally froze up. I would... like that. I mean, I'm telling you. I don't think I made a noise, but I do distinctly remember having my hand on my mouth, turning red... The guy that was training me for the night was a guy by the name of John Anthony, who went on to great success as a program director in Chicago in country music. And I think John's now passed on. And he looked at me, and he looked at the board, and he's like, come on, you know, say something. And he just went ahead and he pushed the button and got us into the commercial break.
So you didn't say anything?
I didn't say a word. Now, I say all of that because the idea of stage fright is a paralyzing thing, and I've got firsthand experience of it, but just that once. That's the last time that ever happened, and it never happened again. I guess I ought to be grateful for that, but it was a... I'll tell you what, man, it was one for the books, that's for sure. All right, world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, coming back here in just a few minutes. We'll be back, and we'll be talking about this Lufthansa, the 78 Lufthansa heist, and what is the latest news in that. Yes, news continues to be created around this very fabled robbery at Kennedy International Airport and the subject of the film Goodfellas. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com and on TuneIn as well. Do you have your TuneIn app? If you do, then go to the Phil Henry channel. You can listen to us everywhere and anywhere and however, you know, you want to do what you do, man. You just do it, okay? Meanwhile, get a backstage pass to the Phil Henry Show and you can get the next day's podcast of this show. So if you don't want to hear the show live, you can hear the show the next day. Or if you hear the show live, then you want to hear the podcast of the show the next day, and you can do that too. All right.
I don't understand what you said, but I'm assuming.
It's perfectly fine. Anyway, welcome back to the program. Reputed mobster pleads not guilty in 1978 Lufthansa heist that netted $5.8 million. More than 30 years. Now, do you know what this story is?
Well, I do. I don't know if these younger guys do.
Yeah, I do. It's about a good fella.
Yeah.
Well, it's not totally about Goodfellas. Goodfellas was about a particular mafia crew in New York. You know that, right?
But if I talk about a mafia.
Yes, but it was about a particular crew that Henry Hill, who was not Italian, he was Irish, and Jimmy, whatever that guy's name was.
Yeah, that guy was that was Roger De Niro.
What is it with Roger De Niro? Oh man!
Would you clowns? The name is Robert De Niro. You mental deficients. Not Roger De Niro.
I love him, though. Seen all the movies.
Well, if you've seen all the movies, why don't you get the man's name right, for God's sake? In the name of everything holy, and the archangels, and the mother of the... I'm not Catholic, but am I doing that right, Phil?
Doesn't matter. It's... Yes, get it right, bud.
Get what right?
Robert De Niro's name.
Yeah, not Roger De Niro, man. All right, I stand corrected.
Oh, okay, you stand corrected. Well, that's great, man. You've been watching the guy's movies all these years. So anyway, yes, the movie with Robert De Niro, Goodfellas, it was about that crew that he is his character, and Ray Liotta's character played two Irish, I don't know what the Jimmy, whatever the freak his name was, Jimmy Conway or something like that. I don't know what his ethnicity was. I think it was Irish. But they were associates, you see. They were associates.
Now, what does associate mean? I know what associate means, but perhaps Robert doesn't know, or Bud.
I don't know either. What is an associate of the mafia?
Yeah, it's an associate. It's a guy that hangs around with them, but he's not in the mafia. It's a guy that is accorded a protective status that is not quite 100%. You know, he has business with them, and as long as he has business with them, and as long as he's making money, as long as he's sort of accorded this protected status, he's okay. But it's not anything that it has the full coverage of the whole mafia thing, right?
Well, I don't know anything about the mafia thing, so...
Yeah, if you're in a mafia, you're not even allowed to hit a guy. I remember I seen that in a movie. You can't even hit him or anything.
That's bitching, man. Think about that.
Yeah, that's real bitching. All right, so more than 30 years after a hooded gunman pulled a $6 million airport heist, dramatized... what, bud?
One gunman?
One gunman, no. After hooded gunman. I'm sorry, I misspoke.
Yeah, it's like you said, one guy did it.
Can you imagine that if one guy walks in with a gun and pulls $6 million out of Kennedy International? Boy, the guys... Wouldn't you look like the ass if you were on the receiving end of that?
My God.
No, I misspoke. It's gunmen. More than 30 years after hooded gunmen pulled a $6 million airport heist dramatized in the hit Martin Scorsese film Goodfellas, an elderly reputed mobster was arrested at his New York City home on Thursday. And what, General?
Hold on. I just want to get a bowl of the cottage cheese. Get me the... Bud, I won't leave. Get me the cottage cheese with chives.
Yeah.
And get me a bowl of vanilla wafers.
Yeah.
And then, no, that's got it. Okay, go ahead, Phil. Oh, what? You got a problem with my cottage cheese?
No, I don't.
No, well, you got a problem with my cottage cheese, say something about it. You got a problem with that?
I don't have a problem with it, Joe Pesci.
So you picked up the...
So anyway, Vincent Asaro, this is the name of the guy who was arrested in this 1969 murder and in this Lufthansa robbery in 1978. Vincent Asaro is now 78 years of age. He was named along with his son Jerome and three other defendants in a wide-ranging indictment alleging murder, robbery, extortion, arson, and other crimes from the late 1960s all the way through last year. The Asaros, both identified as captains in the Bonanno organized crime family, pled not guilty through their attorneys and were ordered held without bail at a brief appearance in federal court.
But I mean about Bonanno. Is that Joe Banana?
Yeah, Joe Bananas is the guy that was the nickname of Joseph Bonanno, who was the inheritor. See, these gangs, you gotta understand, these crime families, these gangs, weren't always called the Bonanno or the Gambino. I think the Gambino family was the Lucky Luciano family before that, or the Albert Anastasia family, something like that. And then before that, it was something else. And all of these families came about as a result of one big mob war that took place sometime in the late 1920s in New York City.
I know what it is. Frank said, where's Frank? Get Frank.
No, I know. It's the Castellamare.
Yes, exactly.
All right, now what? The Castellamare what?
The Castellamare War was the war in New York City. I believe that was the name of it. I could be wrong.
No, I think you're right.
Yeah, I'm going to look it up right now, the Castellamare. Give me the Yellow Pages.
What are you looking in the Yellow Pages for?
To find out what Castellamare is.
It ain't a restaurant, bud. Oh, baby.
Well,
baby.
Man, you really, bud, you've got to have a bad meal for brains.
I said the Castellamare War. I made no reference to a restaurant. Where are the Yellow Pages?
Yeah, well, is there a Castellamare restaurant?
Maybe.
Like, I'm not interested in any Castellamare. The Castellamare War, which was won by the faction that eventually created the five New York families and the National Commission, which this is all stuff I get from movies, but also from books that I've read. So I think some of the movies I saw were right.
So you have no first-hand experience with the mob, if you will, with the La Cosa Nostra, or if you will, the National, or what they used to call the Syndicate. The Syndicate. You remember that, General?
Yes. Back in the day, they called it the Syndicate.
Yeah, no, I have no practical experience.
So your information comes from what movies?
My information comes from movies like, I don't know, every movie where they ever mentioned the Syndicate, I guess. You know,
Well, what about the one, the Godfather.
The Godfather, yeah, the stuff in The Godfather. The Godfather supposedly represents the Anastasia family. The Anastasia family, the family that existed before it became the Gambino family. The Anastasia family, which was led by Albert Anastasia, ceased to exist under that name. It became the Gambino family after Albert Anastasia was assassinated or shot or killed or whatever you want to put it in a barber chair at the Park Sheraton Hotel in New York in 1958.
Oh, my goodness. In a barber chair.
Yes. And you'll note that in the film The Godfather, there's a great many of these small scenes played out. The murder of the guy in the barber chair. I think that there's that and a lot of different things. So, and there's also, I don't know if they represent, I think in Godfather 2, or maybe Godfather 3, they had the what was called the, God, I forget what it is.
What?
Yeah, what?
I forget, it was the big meeting in upstate New York.
What was it called?
A big meeting in upstate New York.
Well, then what are you worried about?
I just want to know what the name of the thing was. Let's get Brad Rifkin in here. Brad is with the Rifkin Advertising Agency in Las Vegas, but he's also written a couple of articles expounding the history of La Cosa Nostra, if you will, the mob, if you will, if you will, maybe you won't. With us here is everybody that we get on the line here, a certain newsmaker line, they're all watching the same TV show. You ever notice that, Brad?
Do I ever notice what?
Do you ever notice that are you watching a television show right now that you've seen other people on our show watch?
Am I watching a show right now, Discovery Channel? I don't really
Yeah, never mind, Brad.
I'm hearing a siren and a TV show.
Oh, you're saying that that show has aired before. Yes, it's called a rerun, Phil.
Woo!
Yeah, Phil, they call it reruns.
Never mind.
Brad, this is Margaret. Phil's feeling a little bit persecuted tonight.
Hey, look, Phil, I know how it is.
No, I'm not feeling persecuted, thank you. Okay, Brad, I just want to talk to you a little bit here now about this story, which we have not finished reading, by the way, and I know you've got a little bit more background here on the Asaro family.
Well, yeah, just to give you more on the details of the crime that was committed, not the crime, but the arrest of Vincent Asaro. Gerald McMahon, by the way, is the attorney for Vincent Asaro, who is the 78-year-old. Gerald McMahon told reporters outside of court that his client was, quote, framed by shady turncoat gangsters, including former Bonanno boss Joseph Messino, the highest-ranking member of the city's five organized crime families, to break the vow of silence. Messino is one of the worst witnesses I've ever seen, McMahon. I love the fact that he's essentially admitting that his client is a member of some organized crime outfit, because he's saying that Messino ratted him out to save his own hides. Messino was part of the same sort of nest of thieves, you want to call it, that this guy here, Asaro, is.
Well, how do you, if you're an attorney, how do you say with a straight face to any judge, no, my client is not in organized crime?
Well, I mean, you can. John Gotti's attorney, what's his name? Bruce Cutlet.
Bruce Cutlet?
Yeah, his name wasn't it Cutlet? We used to make a joke about it. Bruce Lamb Cutlet.
It ain't Cutlet. It was Bruce Cutler, I think.
Well, in any event, he would say, well, look, my client is a plumber. He may have friends that are engaged in this and that, but my client is not what you say he is. So there's different things.
All right, let's take another break. We're back with Brad Rifkin from Rifkin Advertising in Las Vegas, and the author of a couple of interesting online papers about the mafia. We're talking about the reputed gangster who has pled not guilty in the 1978 Lufthansa robbery at Kennedy International Airport that netted $6 million. At that point, it was the largest heist of its kind. It was the largest take in any robbery. And it was featured in the film Goodfellas as having been a rather pivotal part of that movie. World famous Phil Hendry. I just dumped myself.
Well, sometimes that's a good idea.
Yeah. All right, world famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. So I'm talking here with Nikki and with Brad Rifkin about food. All of a sudden, Brad Rifkin with us here from Las Vegas, Nevada. We're discussing this recent arrest. I think it's very interesting, Brad, the arrest of this man, the 78-year-old Vincent Asaro, along with his son, and this for, in part, the so-called Lufthansa heist. Very, very interesting story, and I guess it has captured the imagination of so many people. Let's get back to just the food thing. What happened to Brad? You there?
Yeah, I'm right here, Phil.
You called me Fib?
Yeah, you said I'm right here, Fim.
I'm sorry. I was just talking to a guy, as fate would have it, in Philadelphia. It's a long distance call to Fim O'Herlihy, an Irish guy. So I says to you, because I take you as Irish, Phil.
You're Jewish, right?
I'm Jewish, yeah. But, I'm Jewish, Austrian, that kind of European, Central European Jewish ancestry. But the guy I was talking to in Philly was Fim O'Herlihy. And guess what, ethnicity he is?
I'm going to say Irish.
Wrong. No, you're right. I was going to say Italian. But so I called you Fim because you look like, I say this with great love for you. You look like a Mick to me, as I've often said.
I know. The Mick thing some people probably wouldn't like.
All right. I apologize for that.
No. I understand. But we were talking about food.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I had an uncle, and my uncle said to me, you'll never, ever have to worry about how to entertain a young lady if you know how to make spaghetti sauce. Now, I learned the art of spaghetti sauce making from a friend of mine's father who was Italian, the Roberti family. which was in New York, in East New York, where I grew up. And he would taught us how to make sauce, you know, Italian sauce. So I've always felt that that was a very good rule of thumb.
You'll never have to worry about entertaining a young lady if you want.
If you know how to make spaghetti sauce.
Well, no, I agree, although there are a lot of women that don't want that to go straight to you. One of the problems with that is I love food, all women do. When we say that we like food, we get the rolled eyes, because the first thing a man thinks is of the big, sort of the big rolling butt. Do you know what I mean, Brad?
Yeah, no, I know. When women say, oh, wow, I would say, I'm going to make spaghetti tonight for you if I'm going out with a girl. If I say, come on over for dinner, for instance, right? And I said, I'll make spaghetti. You see her eyes light up, and in my mind, now I see the big rear end starting to, as you say, roll underneath the skirt. And
What are we talking about here?
Talking about where a man's mind goes when he thinks of making a woman spaghetti sauce. I think you're right. Cooking for a woman is a very sexy thing, but if you say, I'll make you spaghetti, there's two things that go through a woman's mind. I want it, and I want a lot of it. And that's the only thing that goes through a woman's mind, actually. The other thing that goes through a woman's mind is actually going through the man's mind.
What?
What do you mean?
Are you following me?
No, I'm not following you.
Margaret, what do you mean it's going... There's two things you said going through a woman's mind.
Then I misspoke. I meant to say there's... Well, there are two, but one of them is mostly going through the man's mind. But she put it there. That's what I'm saying.
What are you talking about? Yeah.
Let me finish before I reach over there and throttle you, bud, with one hand while I put on makeup with the other. Do you want to see that?
No.
So, what is that noise?
Probably my television.
Oh, so, when a man says, I'll make you dinner tonight, and so what's going through her mind is, oh, God, I want it and I want it now. And what's going through his mind is the big rear end that's moving underneath the dress. Well...
All right.
I hate it when you leave me hanging like that.
I think, Margaret, your point is a good point. But that's...
All right, enough about food. Let's get back to...
I'm getting back to the story here. But, you know, we were talking about food, and you and Nikki was talking about pork chops. Right? Sure, God, God.
Well, now hold on for a bit. As a Jewish guy, you don't eat pork, do you?
Well, I'm not observant. I hate to say that. Religiously, I'm not observant, but I mean, you know, ethnically, I'm Jewish.
What does that mean ethnically?
Look, I don't want to get into this discussion, General. If you want to have a breakdown on all of this stuff, you can talk to him later, okay?
Well, excuse me for asking a guy.
Yeah, the general's just asking.
That's fine, but I'm on to some other business. Thank you very much.
Look, General, the difference is this. I can say that I'm not an observant Jew, that I'm not religiously Jewish. But the fact is my ancestors come from the Jewish culture, the Jewish nation, most recently from Central Europe, but traced all the way back to the Middle East. That's just a fact. And if the Nazis ever came back to power, I could say to the Nazis that I'm a Roman Catholic. It wouldn't matter to them, man. They'd have me, they'd put me behind barbed wire like that. Okay?
All right. Sorry I asked.
Oh, no, it's fine.
That's a pretty good explanation, too. All right.
Well, good for you guys.
Nobody's trying to... So, go ahead, Brad.
All right. So, Vincent Asaro. Now, this guy McMahon, who is the attorney of Vincent Asaro, says that Joe Messina, the former head of the Bonanno crime family, is, quote, one of the worst witnesses that I've ever seen. He added that Asaro had given him marching orders that there will be no plea, and he'll walk out the door a free man. That means that the Messina and the Bonanno...
No, it's Joe Messina is the head of the Bonanno crime family, is that right?
Yes, that's right. I'm sorry, Margaret. And the other guy is Asino, right?
No, Asaro.
Asaro. So, Joe Bazoo.
Wait, talk about Joe Bazoo.
Yeah, there's no Joe Bazoo, right?
No, there's no Joe Bazoo. You're getting a little ahead of yourself.
Yeah, just slow down, Brad. It's Joe... Bastasino. God, now I'm doing it.
It's Joe Messina, it is Vincent Asaro, and it's the Bonanno crime family.
There you go. Phil's got it.
Yeah, thank you, Phil. So Messina, he gets ripped a new ass by this lawyer. Now, The lawyer for Jerome Asaro declined comment. That's the son.
All right, so that's the son of Vincent.
That is the son of Vincent. The indictment accuses Asaro of helping to direct, get a load of this, of helping to direct the 1978 Lufthansa Airlines heist at Kennedy Airport, one of the largest cash thefts in American history. In addition to the heist, the elder Asaro was charged in the 1969 murder of Paul Katz. Prosecutors say Katz once owned a warehouse where mobsters stored stolen goods. All of the men arrested are alleged members of the Banana... This says here Banana.
No, it does. It says Bonanno.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was looking at an ad. There's an ad here for Vons. I wish they wouldn't do that.
There's an ad for Vons what?
There's a Banana ad for the Vons. Anyway, so the Bonanno crime family. CBS senior news investigative producer Pat Milton reports that in surprise pre-dawn raids, dozens of FBI agents descended on four houses in Queens and Long Island simultaneously. The men arrested were allowed to get dressed, and then were taken to 20... be funny if they weren't allowed to get dressed, but no, I guess it wouldn't be funny.
No, that probably wouldn't.
But anyway, they were taken to 26 Federal Plaza for fingerprinting. The fifth suspect was at work and turned himself in to the FBI. So there you go. And there's a lot more to this, and I'm sure, Phil, you can fill people in. But mostly, it's about the banana... It's about a banana man... It's about the banana... It's about Vincent Banana.
No, it's about the Bonanno. Thank you very much, Brad.
All right, but it's about the...
Vincent Bonanno and... No, Vincent Asaro.
You guys are something else. I had to sell tickets, not to listen to your show, just to look at you...
All right, Margaret, thank you very much for your support. The Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. We'll be back after the top of the hour break. And we got other news, and we'll get back into this banana, I mean Bonanno, the banana. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, and tune in and podcasts and archives and live streaming video and all that. And every night you can be watching our live streaming video cast at philhenryshow.com, as well as access our archives. We say it's over 5,000 hours. I'm telling you right now, it's way more than 5,000 hours of audio from a radio show that is, in our opinion and the opinion of many, a legendary radio show. And one that, you know, it continues to change and continues to evolve. It's a very interesting thing about our show. You know, as I've mentioned often, back during a certain period of our show when we were doing all the phone call humor, we had so many people that didn't get it, and they didn't want to put it on the air, and they didn't want to sponsor it, and we had a lot of listeners that were pissed off. And now there's a lot of fans of that as we've moved on. You know, someone said to me today, hey, are you ever going to go back to that? I said, no. He said, well, then, I said, time for you to move on, man. You know, go find another radio show. I mean, this is what we do now, and who knows? We may change back to it, but we do, I do on this show what I want to do, you know.
Well, Phil, we know that.
You may know it, but I do what I feel like doing. The first guy that I got to make happy here is me. And if there's people that are unhappy with it, I don't care. You know, you can scream and yell all you want. You can go on Facebook and talk about what a this and that I am. Like, I care, man. Like anybody cares, you know. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I was talking to a guy today. I should mention this because I mentioned it during the pre-show. Because if you are a Backstage Pass subscriber, by the way, then you can hear our pre-show and, you know, what goes on here. Today we had a wild thing.
Yeah, trying to find out what was wrong.
What do you mean, what was wrong?
Oh, a technical problem.
Well, yeah, we had some technical stuff. But I was talking before about some brain surgeon I'm talking to. If you want to talk to people who are almost... functionally illiterate. I mean, if you really want to get to a place where you've got a good, if you really are interested in investigating just how dumb it gets in America, there's no place like Facebook. No place at all to do that kind of research than Facebook. I had a guy today message me because we've been goofing on this Bill Gates meme, and I didn't create this thing. It's 3 years old. Now I got people thinking that I created it. Today I said, I didn't create this. I just kept it going. This whole Bill Gates meme, if you share the photograph, he'll send you $5,000. Now, I know that you guys listening to me right now think it's very funny that anybody would believe that, but I got news for you. There's a lot of people that believe it. One of them was some dumbass cowboy, the best way I could describe this guy. And this guy was a white guy, 42, sitting on his dead ass somewhere out in a ranch someplace while his girlfriend is working. He can't work. His hand's busted. Why is his hand busted? Well, he got into a bar fight defending her honor, he put it. He says to me, like, this is a real big thing. He says, I've been working since I was 12. I said, well, you think I'm impressed with that? I've been working since I was 10, okay? I said, let me ask you something, man. Have you ever been fired? Nope, never been fired. Never been fired from a job ever in my life. Oh, I said, well, everybody else has been fired. Anybody that's actually worked for a living has been fired at one point or another. And I said, and the whole reason why I'm telling you this, as long as you're telling me about, you know, your girlfriend's got to work and you can't because you're sitting on your dead can and you feel really bad about her working because, you know, all your life you've always, supported your women. I'm telling you, folks, I'm listening to this line of horse dung, and I don't have the heart to tell a guy I don't believe any of it. But I said to him, have you ever applied for unemployment insurance? I guess you haven't if you've never been fired. I said, how did you lose your last job? He said, we got laid off. I said, that's being fired.
This guy didn't know that was fired?
No, he didn't think that was fired. He thinks that's laid. He thinks there's a difference between laid off and fired. I got news for you, folks. In the world of unemployment insurance, there ain't no difference. So, and don't, you know, so this guy said, you know what unemployment, well, no. I said, well, if you got laid off, you should be collecting unemployment. Yeah, I'm gonna look into that. Oh, well, good for you. What a brain surgeon you are, man. And I got people talking to me about Mexicans and illegal aliens and, the Africans and the Tahitians and all these other people. I wonder how many guys like that there are in this country. I got money that says there's more jackballs like that than there probably are illegal aliens sitting on their ass doing nothing. If you want to talk about people just ripping off the system, and you say to me, well, he ain't ripping off the system. He's not taking any. Guess what? If that clown, without any freaking money at all, without any job, without any support, busts his hand in a bar fight, the first place he's going is an emergency room. Now, you know it and I know it because his little hand's broken and he's probably really hurts bad. So he's going to go to a bar. He's going to go to a he'll probably go to a bar first.
Yeah, probably got to deaden the pain.
I was going to say he'd have a couple of drinks to deaden the pain.
Yeah.
So he goes to the emergency room. No health insurance. He doesn't have a job by his own admission. He's just all, gee, Phil, I've really fallen on some hard times. This guy thinks it's still the Dust Bowl, and he's some kind of an admirable John Dos Passos or Steinbeckian story where he's just the grapes of wrath, and he's driving his jalopy, and one day real soon, good Lord's going to shine on me. Hey, pal, you know, the whole reason why we've got something called unemployment insurance is that nobody wants to go through that crap anymore. So this jackass is going to go into an emergency room with a busted hand. He's got no money. He's got no insurance. Well, guess who's paying for that? Now, I'm going to tell you this, and you can, unless, of course, his girlfriend coughs up for the cost of an emergency room visit, a waitress, I got news for you. They're going to stiff the hospital. It happens all the time. Why the hell do you think we're in this mess? If anybody bothered to do the damn math. So this guy, a white guy, 42, lazy son of a bitch, white trash, sitting on his ass, talking to me about how this, that. This guy is stealing. Okay? You want to talk to me about Mexicans?
You know, you're getting really political. You're going to get a lot of people angry.
I don't care. I mean, if I get a lot of people angry, I'm just telling you, this is what happened when I go over to Facebook today. And what am I doing over on Facebook is I'm just simply trying to interact with the folks, you know. So.
Yeah, but you see, your mood has soured.
My mood is fine. All right, now let's get back to, well, we're all done with, are we all done with the mafia?
Yeah, I'm done, but I looked up the Bonanno. Not the Bonanno.
We already got that, the Bonanno crime family, fine. And Vincent, the upshot on all of that, by the way, just for your edification, because I did a little bit more reading. This guy, Katz, Gary Katz, the guy that was murdered by Asaro, this guy was murdered, this Katz, who owned a warehouse where this Bonanno crew stored a lot of stolen items. So there's no question, oh, I shouldn't say there's no question, but it's likely that the Jimmy the Gent Burke crew that did the whole Lufthansa job may have stashed much of their absconded goods, their ill-gotten gains, in a warehouse owned by this guy, Katz, the guy that Asaro is said to have murdered. Now, Jimmy the Gent, who I just read about here in this article, Burke, the guy who's was played by Robert De Niro, he died in 1996. The FBI has just torn up the backyard of that house. And guess who they found buried in the backyard there?
Jimmy the Gent Burke.
No, you jackass. That was his house.
Not him. They found that Katz guy.
Oh.
Oh, the man who owned the warehouse.
The guy that owned the warehouse, they found him. They found his body buried in Jimmy the Gent Burke's yard, and this guy, Asaro, is alleged to have strangled that man and buried him there. So I wonder if he buried him there without Jimmy the Gent knowing.
I doubt, knowing what I, if the movie with Robert De Niro is true, I wouldn't bury anything in his backyard except, you know, maybe if, I wouldn't bury anything back there but a cigarette butt or a bad cigar stub or maybe a dead cat, but.
All right, well, suffice to say, they wouldn't. So that's the story there. So Burke died. Henry Hill just died this past year in June of 2013. They're all gone. Lufthansa was contacted for a comment on the arrest of this guy, and they said, you know something? There's two generations of Lufthansa employees that have come and gone. There's not anybody in the building here that remembers those days. It is now simply a piece of history with no relevance or no connection to our company. Thank you so very much, and don't darken our sheets again. Click.
Danny said.
No, they didn't say that. All right, we'll be right back with more. We got Edward Snowden. Yeah, I guess it is kind of a political night here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're going to be talking here about Edward Snowden and what he's doing. He's apparently now, he's kissing off returning to the United States. There's a picture of him, Mr. Snowden, the NSA leaker, and he don't look like he's getting too many meals, you know.
Well, I was going to say, he doesn't look like he's getting those pork chops in the mushroom sauce.
No, he doesn't. It's the Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show every night till 10 o'clock from the El Pacifico all the way to 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And Dean Wheeler is going to join us now from the Shrimp in the East Bay of San Francisco, where we're not going to be there, but we're going to be in the East Bay. He's going to be joining us here in just a moment. And we'll be talking to him about Edward Snowden. I can't get the guy's name right.
Well, you're going to have to start to get these names, Phil.
Yeah, Phil, what is the problem with his name?
I don't know. I want to say Eric. Is there an Eric Snowden? There must be.
Yeah, I think there's an Eric Snowden, and he was a... What, no, man. I think there's an Eric Snowden, and he was a guy that was
What? In the what, bud?
In the what?
Never
mind.
He's going to say in the British Army?
Yeah, in the British Army.
There was Lord Snowden. Is that...
Yeah, his real name's Eric. Or maybe it was Eric. It could have been Bob.
What am I hearing here?
That is the Shrimp. It's dance night. I don't think that Emeralda is on stage. Let me get Dean. Dean. Put it on hold for a minute, bud. Dean. Yes, darling. We're ready to go. All right.
Dean, how you doing?
Phil, I'm doing fine. Yeah, we're at Little Shrimp out here in the East Bay tonight, and we're looking forward to seeing you here in the Bay Area on Sunday night at the Eureka Theater, 8 o'clock. Get your tickets now to come out and see a great guy. Phil, you and I have had our differences down through the years, but I don't think there's anyone like you anywhere in the world. But it's true of all of us. There's no one like me anywhere in the world either, so... it's not that big of a deal, what I just said about you, but I still enjoy you, and I'll always enjoy you, and I mean that band to band.
Where is Emeralda?
Emeralda right now is on the dance floor. She's dancing with a guy by the name of Cheever. He's our bodyguard. We just finished up the gig over at Placento, which is in Berkeley.
And was she singing tonight?
Yeah, she was singing, and now she just wants to cut a rug here. She's with our bodyguard, and no, she doesn't have any sexual interest in him. Or, you have to understand that Emeralda is almost my age, so it's not like I'm married to a really young woman that is going to go out and wow the guys. I love her very much.
Well, now, Dean, watch what you say.
No, I know. If there's one thing that I know, it's women, Margaret, and I'm saying that with modesty, but if there's one thing I know, it's women. And I won't say anything that'll hurt Emeralda. I think that she's a lovely girl. I love her. We've been through a lot. But she's pretty. She's almost as old as me.
Well, how old are you?
I'm 48. and she's 47. You know, on a bad, she's going on.
Dean.
Well, am I going to get to say?
Go ahead, Dean. What do you want?
Well, he's going to say something that's.
I'm just saying that Emeralda is a. She's beautiful to me. She's beautiful to me.
Well, I know enough about women to know that's not that. That wasn't exactly flattery.
No, that was not flattery.
Well, I'm not. What wasn't flattery about that?
She's beautiful to you, so that means that she's not beautiful to anyone else.
Well, she's look. She's. Can I just tell you? I think this is sexy. I think that this is sexy. She is rode hard and put up wet. Now, hold on for a minute, Margaret.
Oh, my God.
Now, hold on for a minute.
Rode hard and put up wet.
Yeah. What is that? That's a very sexy chick who's just got... Well, she's just got done...
God, man, you...
Don't go any further, okay?
All right.
No, I agree with Phil, Dean. Don't go any further. You're going to butcher it.
What? I'm going to what?
I said you're going to butcher.
His voice is drying out. The general has had a very, very bad series of allergies that is causing his voice to dry out.
Well, what I heard him say was butcher. And it doesn't give you a whole lot of credibility, General, wherever you are. I love my wife very much. She's very beautiful. She's very beautiful. But she's been run through the ringer. She's gone through the ringer. And when I say that, I'm saying that in the most respectful way. I think she's a lovely girl. She's got a beautiful voice. But when you look at her, you can tell that she's been beat up by life. She's had her, figuratively, not literally, she's had her face kicked in a few times. She's put some pounds on. And I'm saying this figuratively, all right, Phil? I'm not saying literally.
You're saying figuratively she's had her face kicked in. But you're not saying literally.
No, of course I'm not.
All right.
And figuratively, her ass, and I know you guys say the word ass, that's okay.
Are you going to say that figuratively her ass is large?
Yes, but I'm saying it figuratively. Margaret, you're the one that likes to accentuate the words.
How do you say figuratively a woman's ass is large? Is it actually large?
My wife I love with all of my heart. Anyone that tries to mess with my wife gets on, as I've been hearing you guys say on the show lately, gets on the fighting side of me. Okay? You mess with my wife, you're on the fighting side of me. And so when I say that figuratively, symbolically, her ass can't even get through a door, I'm not saying that literally. I'm saying that...
You're saying figuratively, and we're trying to figure out what that means.
I think the more he tries to explain, the worse it gets.
Margaret, you know that I respect you, but I heard some spit fly out of your mouth right then. Are your teeth in?
Excuse me, Phil.
Okay, she's walking out of the room, and I don't blame her.
Oh, baby, are you kidding me?
What does that mean, are your teeth in? She doesn't have fake teeth.
Well, she went... I heard her say, it sounded like flatulence. I knew it couldn't have been that.
You mean, when you say flatulence, do you mean this? Did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear it.
Wait a minute. Did it sound like this? Hear that?
No, I didn't hear it.
Okay, we're all done with that. Dean, let's get to the point. Edward Snowden and the very famous whistleblowing that this guy did.
All right, well, let's get to the point. And the point is that Edward Snowden is in Moscow, and he is there because he's been forced there by a very oppressive American law. The whistleblower law doesn't protect him at all. It doesn't protect him at all. It doesn't protect contractors. And you're right, Phil, I saw the picture of him. He looks like he's not eating properly. He's in Russia. I don't know how they're treating him. Is he under some kind of house arrest? The article today said that Edward Snowden himself does not expect to come back to the United States, not as long as the laws are the way they are.
Well, now, I want to ask you something, Dean. This is General Shope. Who cares what this numbnut, if excuse my language...
General, please.
Well, you know, I am very angry... at this man disclosing information. So I'll say it again. Who cares with this num...
Please don't say that.
Well, who cares what he's saying? And who cares whether he's getting his three squares a day? The United States should bring him back and prosecute him to the fullest extent of the law. Now, I'll tell you something. Phil and I were talking about this during the break. The United States will most likely cut a deal with the Russians and give the Russians someone that we're holding for him.
I hope not. I think that would be absolutely the worst. Are you kidding me or something? So what are you saying?
I think what the general's saying is something that's done all the time. It's been done here in this country all the time, back when it was not Russia but the Soviet Union. We exchange political prisoners. We exchange spies, basically. We've got in our federal custody right now any number of individuals that have been arrested for espionage, working on behalf of the Russian government or the Chinese or somebody like that. We've got someone that they want. And I have no doubt that there's probably been contact between the two governments, and the U.S. probably initiated it, and the Russians are trying to get the best possible deal.
Oh, so you're saying the Russians will sell this guy out? Woo! Do you understand what the international ramifications could be? Yeah, the international ramifications. Oh my God! Are you serious, Phil?
Yeah. What happened to your voice?
Well, I can't believe what you're saying.
You're starting to sound like me.
No, I don't sound like you, General. I don't sound like a frightened. I'm frightened. No, I'm not frightened. You sound frightened. I am not believing Phil. Excuse me. I'm not believing Phil Hendry.
Well, believe it, Dean. It happens all the time. The United States. Don't be surprised if the headline in the newspaper one morning is Snowden to be returned to U.S. custody. Russians, make a deal, or probably won't even say anything about a deal.
Are you kidding me? Hold on for a minute.
I don't know what's wrong with him, but it sounds like he needs a doc. Sounds like he needs a doctor. We're going to be back here on the Phil Hendry Show with our friend Dean Wheeler. And what sounds to me like an eventuality that he cannot accept, and that is that the Russians may very well send Snowden back into America. They don't give a damn what the world thinks. The Russians and the Chinese have made a living not giving a crap what the world thinks. Inside our bed, I got dreams of you all. Phil Hendry Show. Fortune tell us that I'd be free, and that's the day you came.
Well, I'm gonna go get some cottage cheese.
You do that.
Came to me. You broke to her early because I can hear Nikki saying 10 seconds. No, she's saying 5 seconds. Oh, I guess you didn't.
Hello. Welcome back, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Sorry, folks. It's,
you always have that problem with the Dabacab song.
Yeah. With the Dabacab. Anyway, welcome back here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Larry Grover with us. Larry is decidedly on the opposite side politically here, and we'll talk with Larry. We have on the line with us from, I forget the club there, Dean Wheeler is with us. Dean, where are you tonight?
I don't even know, but I know that Amarella's on the dance floor, and this guy Cheever, who is our bodyguard, in a minute I'm going to cut in, if you know what I mean.
No, I don't know what you mean. That doesn't sound very friendly.
Well, I don't want this guy putting his hands on her, and right now he's doing that dance. Did you ever see the dance in Carlito's Way where the guy had the hands on the hips? That is no good. I want all the guys out there, when you put your hands on another guy's woman's hips, I don't care if it's not on her ass, okay?
Look, Dean, I don't want to talk about this.
I'm sorry.
I want to talk. We've been getting sidetracked regularly on this show, and I want to put an end to it. I'm sorry that there's a. Every time you're on the show, you got a problem with Emeralda.
No, I don't think every time. Why would you say that?
Because every time you're on the show, she's up on the bandstand singing, and you don't like the horn player, you don't like the drummer, you don't like the way they're miking her, you don't like the way that she's singing. You're getting into a fist fight with some guy, and do you remember the night you were on the show here about a year or so ago when that guy clocked you and knocked all the teeth? Sounded like he knocked all your teeth out.
No, I remember that ass. There was a guy sitting at a table, and no, that's not going to happen. I'm just telling you, this guy needs to get his hands off her hips.
If I were you, I would. Is he? He works for you?
He's our bodyguard. Yes.
I would go over to him and say, "I'd like to speak with you. I appreciate you not putting your hands on my wife's hips. Otherwise, I'm going to have to terminate you." Period.
Well, what would that do?
if the guy's a professional at all, it would tell him, keep your hands off of my wife's hips. That's what it would do. And if it didn't do it, then he's fired. Yeah. All right, Larry Grover is going to join us here from Conservatives of Kern County. Larry's on the line here. Let's see where we're at right now. Larry's on the line with us here from Culver City, California. Hey, Larry, it's good to talk to you. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing great, and Dean, nice to talk to you.
Hi, Larry.
Okay, Larry, we're talking about Edward Snowden. Your feeling?
Well, my feeling about Edward Snowden is pretty cut and dried. I think he's a traitor. I think he is obviously a violator of federal law. I don't care what his agenda is. I think there's a feeling in this country that if you think you're doing good, then you can violate any law you want, and we're not supposed to prosecute you because in your opinion, in your sacrosanct opinion, you're doing a great thing. Well, I beg to differ. Now, understand, I'm a member of Conservatives of Kern County, and I am not any fan of Barack Obama's. But in this particular instance, I have to stand with the president, who is doing the right thing, enforcing the law. And the law says that you do not divulge this kind of information publicly without the penalty of a federal indictment and prosecution and prison if you're found guilty. Now, you said that the guy's in a picture today, and I went and I got it. There's a picture of him there in Moscow. He's there standing with some really pathetic... These lefties, they kill me. He's standing there with some left-wing jive...
Well, Larry, this is Margaret. When you're talking about Edward Snowden, who is, in my opinion and in the opinion of so many others, a very courageous man. You don't agree?
No, a courageous man? What kind of guts does it take to just take a whole bunch of... Here's a guy with no high school education. He's probably not getting enough attention in his life from his mama. So he goes out...
No, I will not accept that. I hear you and Vernon Dozier do that. I will not accept that.
You won't accept what?
Well, that whole mama thing.
Are you telling me I can't?
No, I'm just...
I won't accept you ridiculing a man like that.
Margaret, I'm not ridiculing, but I'm telling you that Eric Snowden has all the hallmarks of an individual that didn't get enough love and attention, and he's a high school dropout. What's that mean? I don't know. Now he works his way up in the government. Now, you know, he's not getting enough love. He's not getting enough attention. And I think it does. It goes back to the days when his mommy took him off the nipple too soon.
I'm asking you to hang up.
I'm not hanging up anything.
Then please.
Oh, what, the cat got your tongue?
No, but I'm emotional about this issue. I think it's very important.
Well, Margaret, I do too. And I think it's extremely important and extremely dangerous when a private citizen with a license to handle classified information, no less, a contractor decides out of his own hubris or his concern for the public. I don't necessarily believe that this guy's got any concern for the public. I think he needs some attention. I think he needs some love because he couldn't get any, it's probably not his mother so much as he couldn't get any respect and he wasn't enough of a man for his daddy. And that's the part that really hacks me off.
Well,
oh no, hold on for a minute, because I'm not done. I think I'm entitled. I've been listening to Wheeler spill his guts. Jesus, Wheeler, if you didn't shut your mouth, I thought your guts were going to spill out. Are you talking to me? Let me tell you something, my friend. Nobody talks to me like that.
Well, I just did, didn't I?
All right, gentlemen, that is not necessary.
I apologize, Dean, but I'm very wound up.
Well, a lot of people are wound up, sir. A lot of people. I'm concerned about the well-being of Mr. Snowden. Mr. Henry has made some comments that I think are frightening. Very frightening.
Do you mind? Well.
Do I mind what?
Do you mind taking the blank out of your mouth?
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Did you dump that?
I don't think we had to dump it. I think that Larry thought he was being...
Yeah, he did want to say it, and I told him to say blank.
Well, I thank you, bud, but that's...
Oh, boy, if anybody said that to me...
Is your throat okay? Give the...
Let me have some of the honey and the lemon, and get me a little
I'll get it right now.
Yeah, hold on, bud. Get me some hot water, honey, lemon. Get me some cayenne, some Tabasco, and then bring me a telephone.
Oh, are you guys done?
Sorry.
Man, that was something. That was something. They're getting wound up. There's no question.
Well, what do you think? What do you think of this entire... Now, I know that you are all pro-enforcement.
Well, I mean, here's what I think. Here's what I think about Snowden. I think at the end of the day, as I like to say, you have an international internet community that thinks it's far more important than it really is. The internet community does not motivate so much as it reacts. There's a lot of people that feel the NSA and all of that stuff is really important. The fact of the matter is, most Americans don't care about that story. They're not interested in that story. They're not interested in Snowden. He's some weird freak, as far as they're concerned, who looks like he's getting skinnier every day. They don't quite understand. They know it's a violation of the federal law. They know the very popular president, or I should say, a relatively popular president, President Obama, supports the arrest of this guy and the incarceration, or at least the prosecution of this guy. And he's a supposed progressive or liberal or whatever kind of a president. Now, I'm not interested in the right wing's view of Obama. What their opinion of Obama is, it matters about as much as the international internet community's opinion of what's going to happen to Edward Snowden, because he is a pawn in a bigger game that's being played right now between the United States and Russia. Edward Snowden got nothing to say about it. There's nothing he could do that could influence anything. He may say he wants to give himself up to U.S. authorities at some point, but right now it's out of his hands. Right now there's a conversation going on between the United States and Russia, or maybe not, that has to do with exchanging high-level people. Now, whether the U.S. thinks that Eric Snowden is worth sending to the Russians some guy that we've got buried in a dungeon someplace is entirely up to the United States government. It's entirely up to the authorities that be. But rest assured, that's the conversation that's taking place. Eric Snowden's got nothing to say about it. He's got nothing to say about it. And the international internet geeks, these keyboard warriors, you know, I was talking earlier with a friend of mine. We were talking about the keyboard warriors of the internet. That's all they are. These are people that can type. And folks, that just don't get it done. It can hack into a few computers, and it can, you know, get anonymous to, shut down a website here and there. But any real damage, any real, you know, motivation of any, that ain't going to happen, man.
Well, you're talking about anonymous. Why, those are the people that sent the Scientology reeling.
Yeah, they got into Scientology, but that's not the U.S. government. That's not the combined force of not only the U.S. government and the Russian government, but really the intelligence services of a lot of countries. That's a whole other thing. Those are people that will find out where you are and they'll kill you. That's what they'll do. You know, you can be a member of Anonymous. You ain't anonymous for long. They find out who you are. They find out where you live. And if they want, they will just basically make you disappear. You know, if you are, that's the kind of men in black thing that I believe in, because that's happened. That's actually happened. You know, or we're not talking about some fantasy that these clowns concoct about helicopters. No, we're talking about the dirty, rotten, smelly, and very unglamorous world of espionage. And, oh, yeah, they kill people all the time. So now comes this guy Snowden, who thinks he's got some power. Right now, Eric Snowden knows what's going on. Now he's beginning to get the idea. He's in Russia. He's in Moscow. He's at the behest. He's at the mercy, at the charity of the Russian government. And they're telling him exactly what he's going to do and what he isn't going to do. And he knows. And he knows. He's giving quotes to U.S. papers, but he has no idea that it's out of his hands. He thinks that he's going to say, well, you know, I think I'll go back. Oh, maybe I won't. Doesn't make any difference, man. One day, the Russians are going to come to him and say, you know what, Eric, or Edward, or whatever the hell your name is, they probably forgot. We just cut a deal, and we're sending you back to the United States. But you said, well, you know what, things change. Oh, my God, when I get back to America, I'm going to tell everyone that the Russians betrayed me. Well, it won't be anything that hasn't been said about us before. If there's one thing, if there's the one government in the world other than the Chinese that doesn't care what anybody thinks about them, it's the Russians. They could give a damn. They don't care.
That you're saying That's what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying, yes.
Interesting. Thank you. All right, we're going to be back here on the world famous... Back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com with more. Here's my man Frank Zappa, too, we'll go out with. All right. God bless him. Be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with more of this titillating news. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we talk this hour about the NSA leaker, Edward Snowden. I know I've called him Eric, and I apologize for that. I'm not trying to belittle the guy by messing up his name. I honestly am just brain dead when it comes to names, and I've got a problem with that. We also have Dean Wheeler with us. Larry Grover has joined us. We've got on the line as well Harvey Wireman from San Marino, California, and we will have Warren Bedman from Orlando, Florida in a moment here. And Harvey, how are you doing?
Hey, Phil, doing great. Thank you for bringing me on a very important topic.
What is your read on the Edward Snowden?
Well, a lot of it has to do with agreeing with what you're saying. I think what you're saying makes a lot of sense. This guy is no big thing. He doesn't control anything. He doesn't motivate anything. He's not wagging the dog, as they say. Edward Snowden is a pawn in a big game right now, having to do with two very powerful governments, the United States of God Almighty. I forgot the country I'm in.
America.
America, yes, I'm sorry.
Harvey, are you all right?
Yes, I'm all right, Margaret, thank you.
Well, I'm being considerate of you.
Harvey, this is General Shaw. We want to make sure you're doing okay.
Yes, General, I'm fine, thank you. No, the guy that I'm talking about here, this Snowden, yeah, I agree with Phil. I think he is a pawn in a much larger game. And he's going to be very sorry when these Russians show up with the fur hats and the big red star. Well, they don't have the red star anymore, but they still have those fur hats. Let me tell you, I don't think if you've ever seen a Russian cop, you'll never forget a Russian cop and the fear that a Russian cop can put into you when they take you down to that the prison down there.
Lubyanka.
I got hung up on certain words, you know.
No, you're just like everybody else on the show. The Lubyanka prison, which was the former KGB prison.
Right, and that place is hell on earth. And if Snowden gives these Russians a hard time, he's going to wake up in a dungeon over there, and that's the last anybody will ever hear of him. Guaranteed, my friends.
All right, Harvey Wireman. Warren Bedman on the line. Warren, I want you and Harvey to engage on this. I know that you have a far more, Edward Snowden-friendly point of view, correct?
Oh, you can't get Edward Snowden. Yes, indeed.
What is your feeling on this?
Wait, hold on for a minute before you go.
You'll get found out.
Wait, hold on. Who is this guy?
I'm going to Warren Bedman.
What did he say?
Warren Bedman.
Oh, Warren Bedman. Well, of course. I don't know who you are, sir, but I'm having a difficult time understanding you. Say it again.
I'm okay, young girl. You're not going to interfere in good time, Dad. You do you.
Are you kidding me with this guy? I'm supposed to debate this guy?
Warren Bedman had a accident where there was some neurological damage.
Some neurological damage? Is this a joke?
Harvey, Warren is a very educated man. I understand about it being difficult to understand what he's saying, but he is educated.
I don't care if the guy went to the Sorbonne. It doesn't matter. I don't care if he's got an Oxford Rhodes. If they put a Rhodes tattoo on his ass, and I just said the word ass.
Good difficult. You want to talk about?
You know what? I'm not going to deal with that. I don't understand this jackball. And there's no way on God's good green earth.
Okay, Warren, you know what that means? It's up to you, brother. You can, you've got the floor. Harvey hung up.
Okay, thanks, Phil. I'm only going to laugh about it. They say that, you know.
Phil, can I?
Hold on, let him finish.
I'm going to get them dealing. Because she's going to be the one in Dune.
No, we're not going to have Debbie Daly on, too, okay? We're not going to have Debbie on. It's difficult to understand you. And
well, I'm just going to say, Edwin Snowden, in my opinion, can be a much more pivotal thing, not being a pawn. No way you can't say that.
All right, thanks a lot.
Oh, so now all of a sudden you can't understand him.
No, good.
All right, thank you for... Hold on for just a minute, if you wouldn't mind, Dean and Larry. Is Larry still there?
No, Larry hung up. He knew you were going to bring on Warren Benman. Said he didn't want to have no part of it.
He knew I was going to bring on Warren Benman and said he didn't want to have no part of it. Listen, we have Warren on, the same reason why we have Debbie on, because they've got very good opinions. I understand it's difficult for them to understand, or for people to understand them. But for Harvey to just go, well, you know, I got to go...
Well, Phil, what's he supposed to do? You know, do you publish a book that helps people interpret?
I would have to say I would have hung up too, Phil.
Well, I don't know.
Mr. Wireman back on the phone here if you want to talk to him. He just heard Benman hang up, so he can see now it's okay.
Hey, Harvey, look, I'm sorry, but that's how the thing came down. That's how it was scheduled, you know?
To me, if you want to put me on with that now... But that guy has got 100 pounds. The other thing about him was that guy mentally.
We had to dump every other word that you just said.
Well, I don't blame you because that is going to make me kill anybody.
Okay, thanks a lot.
You know what, Henry?
All right, so...
Well, do you blame him for being angry?
I was simply doing what Bud scheduled, okay? He brought in Benman and he had Harvey. I can't move these things around.
You are the host of the show.
Phil, why didn't you have Warren Benman on with just you or someone that can understand him rather than with Harvey?
I don't know. That's how it went down. And, Bud, why did you schedule it that way?
I don't know. Because Harvey sounds about the same way.
All right, well, we were going to have and it's too bad because Warren is like a very, 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 very well-known expert on that topic. 10 years ago, NASA's Opportunity rover bounded to the surface of Mars for what was planned to be a 3-month exploration. Well, Opportunity is still going today and still making discoveries. You ready for that? 10 years ago, so that would have been 2004, Opportunity bounded to the surface of Mars. It was in that thing, right, that bounced around?
Yes, it was like a big air bubble package.
Right. The latest scientist said on Thursday at a news conference celebrating an anniversary none had expected 10 years ago is a small rock that seemingly appeared out of nowhere. We're going to find out what this rock is, its chemical composition, and why it is very, very significant to the scientists there at what?
Well, you put Warren Benman on because you just want to get out of this segment. That's what I think.
I think so, too. You put Benman on just to piss off Harvey so he would hang up.
All right, yes, I did.
Aha! Uh-huh.
Now, why would you do that?
Because I got sick of the topic, that's why.
Well, then why didn't you just say I don't want to talk about it anymore?
Because I wanted to do something creative, so I brought on Warren, who no one can understand, to piss off Harvey. Did you know
I'd go what to sleep and
leave? I mean, you know. What is this, Bud?
I don't know.
All right, we're going to be back. This is it's breaking my heart, man. Is this? Anyway, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show right after these very important messages. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. I just had QVC on there very briefly because I was looking to see this. There she is, this chick in the red dress. You see her? Oh, Nikki's not watching. I don't know why, but I think I know her, and I think she has my wallet. All right, welcome back, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You're kidding, right?
Yes, I'm kidding. World-famous Phil Henry, although a woman like that can very definitely get her hand, not that I would willingly give up my wallet, but if ever there was a woman in this world, the type that could get her hands on my wallet and empty it and my bank accounts, that's the one right there.
The one with the cheap-looking, oh, God. She's probably got E. coli under those nails.
Yeah, very typically female of you to say, Margaret. You know, we've never done a show on how much women hate each other, but one of these days...
I beg your pardon.
Margaret, you know it's true. Women hate each other's guts.
It's true. It's true.
Well, not the way the two of you are. It's not as if we hate each other's guts in the way that the two... Excuse me. There. How do you feel about that?
It's typically childish of you.
It's typically childish of... Get a... Wait a minute. Oh, I'm sorry.
You know something, Margaret? You sound like a cow. If I said you looked like a cow, then you'd be very upset, wouldn't you?
Yes, and that's why you're not going to say that.
Well,
don't, Bud. If you value the idea, not just the reality, but if you value the idea of being able to go into a bathroom and pull out something to have in your hand, if you value that concept, don't go any further because you won't have anything like that. You know what I mean, Phil?
Yes, and we can stop right where you are with that kind of talk.
Well, then tell him.
Everybody calm down. Justin Bieber, let's forget about Snowden. Let's forget about whether or not Bud's got anything to put in his hand when he goes in the bathroom.
Very funny.
Well, you're the one that said it. God.
Yeah, Margaret, you can't. Look, Margaret, don't plow the field unless you're going to squat and fertilize it.
What did you... God almighty, I am... I'm walking out of the studio. Frank told me just to walk out of the studio under protest. That's what I'm going to do right now.
You're going to do what?
I'm walking out.
Okay, so that was pretty funny, though.
That you did pretty good. Yeah, General, where'd you come up with that?
Well, that's an old army saying that we've had. Don't plow the field unless you're willing to squat. And I forget what the rest was.
All right. Okay, so we'll wait for Margaret to be off of her protest, and...
I'm back.
Great.
Don't laugh, Ron. You know what? I'm walking out again.
Margaret, get in here or stay out, one of the two. Justin Bieber walked... Speaking of walking out, Justin Bieber walked out of a jail on Thursday following his arrest earlier in the day in Miami Beach. He was escorted by correctional officers, and he waved to fans during his exit. Isn't that great? A judge set Justin Bieber's bail at $2,500 Thursday after police say he drag raced down a Miami Beach street while under the influence of alcohol. He was charged with DUI, driving with an expired license, and resisting arrest. Bieber was arrested after police said they saw him speeding down a residential street in Miami Beach in a yellow Lamborghini. Officers say he had an expired license, was initially not cooperative when he was pulled over, and smelled of alcohol. Police say Bieber later admitted that he'd been drinking, smoking marijuana, and taking prescription medication. R&B singer Khalil Amir Sharif was arrested in the same incident. He is charged with driving under the influence, and his bond was set at $1,000. Police said that Sharif was driving a Ferrari. Bieber and Sharif, wearing bright red jail fatigues, appeared in court via a video link from jail. They remained silent while defense attorney Roy Black negotiated bond. Roy Black is a very well-known Miami attorney, as you all know, and I'm sure he is on some kind of retainer. Probably he's on a major, massive, boss, multi-dollar retainer. All of these cats, you know.
What?
I said he's probably on some big-ass retainer.
Oh, well, Roy Black, yes. There's no question Roy Black is on retainer by these individuals because he's the most well-known of the defense attorneys in Miami, although I don't doubt that there are others.
Now, here is the picture of Bieber. I think this smiling mugshot is very interesting, don't you? I think when you're arrested and you know that there's going to be a $2,500 bond placed to free you after you... And here's what bothers me about the story. I don't really... Whatever. I mean, people are going to get arrested. Celebrities get arrested, and it's always a big news story. What pisses me off, and I'm telling you it pisses me off, what pisses me off about this story is that Richard Sherman of the Seattle Seahawks made a couple of statements having to do with how he was a far better cornerback than that guy Crabtree was a receiver. He got in his face. He trash-talked. He trash-talked a little bit after the game. Richard Sherman's a man of education. Richard Sherman is a man who's involved in his community. Richard Sherman is a guy that, as my dear mentor Neil Rogers used to say, never stole a freight train. Richard Sherman is, for all intents and purposes, an upstanding guy. He happened to open his mouth, and he said some stuff disrespectful of a San Francisco 49er receiver. And for that, the guy got called a thug. And he got called a gangbanger, and he got called all of this stuff. And there were people putting, you know, bullet holes. Unbelievable, and all white people stuff. Now you got this little turd, Justin Bieber, God knows who he could have killed, smoking weed, drinking, and speeding down a residential street. I don't see anybody putting any gunshots and thug stuff on him and talking about what a piece of crap he is. He's just some kind of cute kid who's just sort of having himself a ball. You know, he's just out and he's just cruising around, and oh, and he got in a little bit of trouble, man. You know, after the whole Seattle-San Francisco game, because I was a 49er, if I was rooting for the 49ers of the game, and afterwards somebody said to me, what do you think about Richard Sherman? I said, ah, screw him and screw Seattle. I was just in a general sense saying, yeah, to hell with the Seahawks. I was hoping that the 49ers would have won. But now I'm a Richard Sherman fan. I am right in his corner. I already felt that I'd sort of misspoke when I read about the man a little bit. I didn't think he was a thug. I just thought he was a big mouth. Lording it over. Nobody likes a guy trash talking after you get your team's ass gets handed to it. But hey, but now in retrospect, thinking of Richard Sherman doing a little bit of trash talk and some of these people talking about him being a thug, some of these unabashed, transparent, racist mothers who don't think they're being found out. I love these dumb whites. You know, I love them. They don't think they're being found. They think that they're somehow camouflaging their true intention when they say some of these things or they post some of these things, right? Meanwhile, here's this little putz. He's a Canadian, man. I mean, nothing against the Canadians. Love him, but the guy ain't even an American citizen. And he's down in Miami, and he's running around on the streets down there, and he's, you know, like I said, drunk on prescription medicine, speeding. He could have killed somebody.
I don't know, Phil. I've made my living supporting our celebrities. I know that it's very dangerous. But I think Justin Bieber needs to be seen in the context of the shining light. Why are you looking at me like that?
Well, we're waiting to hear what horse dung you're going to come up with.
I'm not coming up with any horse dung. I'd like a little bit of respect here, please.
Well, then give us the respect of speaking to us as if we're intelligent people. You know, you're talking about... Go ahead. Why is Justin Bieber... What's this man's name, Bieber?
No, it's Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber. All right, like Leave It to Beaver?
No! Bieber, B-E-I-B-E-R.
All right. And so what are you saying?
I'm saying, General, that as a celebrity, there is a certain, yes, cushion. There is a certain amount of elbow room he's afforded.
What about Richard Sherman?
I don't know Richard Sherman, Phil, from the man on the moon. Who is this man?
He's a football player who made all he said was, I'm a better cornerback, Crabtree sucks. He was trash-talking a guy after the game, and people called him a thug, and people called him a worm, and said he should get the crap beat out of him. I mean, I saw all kinds of ignorant statements about Richard Sherman. What about him?
Well, I don't know. It's football. It's a violent game, isn't it?
No, I'm asking. No, forget it. You know.
Well, you have your little football discussion. I'm simply saying that Justin Bieber, as a celebrity, as one of our very valued celebrities, think of the business that he was bringing to Miami Beach.
Oh, this ought to be. What business?
What business he bring to Miami Beach? He brought cop business to Miami Beach. If they got a donut shop on Miami Beach, he brought the cops to it.
All right, man. Yeah, give me five. All right, enough of that. So, I mean, what is your response? Justin Bieber could have killed somebody. Richard Sherman didn't do a damn thing.
I don't know who Richard Sherman is. Is he a celebrity?
Is he a celebrity? He's a well-known football player working for a football team that is a part of a multi-billion-dollar huge media enterprise called the National Football League. Yeah, I guess you could say he's a celebrity.
I wouldn't know the man if I tripped over him, but if you're saying that he is a bona fide celebrity, then I would have to say that he's black, though, right?
He's black, though.
I don't mean anything racist. But yes, he should watch his step a little bit, only because of the perception.
All right.
Wait a minute, I'm going to say something here.
Go ahead, Robert.
Oh, Robert gets to... I know you're black, Robert.
No, not about me being black. I want to say. You're saying that this man's got to watch his step because he's black, and Justin Bieber needs to be protected.
It's not a fair world that we live in. I'm saying that If it were a fair world and everyone was equal,
yeah,
I would still be a little bit nervous with a man like this Sherman running around loose. Well, I didn't say that right.
No, you didn't say that right. No, you didn't.
I didn't say it right.
Well, you really love it, Phil. You love to catch me with my skirt up over my head, don't you?
Well, you said it there, Margaret.
You know, all four of you, I hope death visits very soon.
Wow.
Yeah, we didn't say nothing.
I'm kidding. I'm going to the toilet.
I guess you're gonna...
Yes, I'm gonna take a dump.
That's her way, by the way, of telling us to just drop dead. You know, so she goes to the toilet and makes a big scene in there.
What do you mean, making a big scene in here?
Just never mind. She goes to the bathroom, makes a big scene. That's her way of saying, I'm going to go and do something grotesque and vile because you guys have really made me angry. Okay, we're going to take a break and be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and more. There's the QVC. She was just on screen.
Phil, would you give it up with this redhead, Ben?
She's not a redhead. She's wearing a red dress.
That lady there, she's black.
Yes, she is black. All right, we'll be right back on the world famous... Never mind, I'm sorry I brought it up. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass, by the way, at philhenryshow.com. And if you would like to hear the show live on your smartphone, get the TuneIn app and dial up to the Phil Henry channel on TuneIn. Thank you. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Welcome back. So, yeah, getting back to the Justin Bieber thing, although I am looking at this chick in the red dress.
Well, you know what? Make up your mind, will you?
Getting back to the Bieber thing, though, I just find that kid to, I don't care, man. Guy can have fun. Guy can do what a guy want to do, you know? But when you got that within 48 hours or, I don't know, 76 hours, however many hours of each other, you got him and then you got this Sherman and one guy's a thug and the other guy's just a... I'm telling you right now, that kid Bieber ought to be in a freaking striped suit, man. That guy, I know he's a great singer, but that doesn't mean you get to endanger the lives of people with your drunk driving, man. People don't care. People don't care. People, you could show someone in this country the absolute abject proof of their hypocrisy, and it's, that's not me. You know.
That guy you talked to tonight.
What guy? That guy I talked to today. That clown. Lord. All right. Did I mention that we have a Martian news? We do have Martian news. Not what you think, Bud. Every time I say something about Mars, Bud thinks we've discovered a little green man.
Well, what is the story on that? I've got to know, and nobody's been able to tell me.
Bud, I told you, I don't know how many times, there is no intelligent life on Mars.
Then what about the canals?
Bud, the canals, dude, the canals have nothing to do with Martian farmers, all right? Those canals are the result of the changing Martian seasons. And what, do you know, General?
I don't know what you're talking. What are you referring to?
No, I know the canal. The Martian canals are part of the change of Martian season. Also, the changing attitude of Mars to the sun.
Okay, but what are those so-called, we don't know?
I thought that they were canals, irrigation ditches dug by the farm. I know there aren't any farm people of Mars, but at the time when people thought there was some kind of agrarian culture there, you know?
No, Margaret, nobody ever thought.
Well, excuse me, but yes, they did.
What about H.G. Wells did?
H.G. Wells what?
H.G. Wells thought there was a Martian... Like a guy, a farm boy up there or something.
Yeah.
A farm boy?
Well, some kind of a farm boy. Not a farm boy, but there's a Martian farm. They're a Martian farm.
Yeah, well, there you go. What about that? You know, it reminds me of that song by Mose Allison, Parchment Farm. Here I'm sitting down here on Martian Farm would be a cute little song. What are you looking at, Margaret?
I'm looking at the three of you wondering if you're serious.
Obviously, they're not.
I'm not serious, but I'm not a musician. But if there is a Martian farm...
There's no Martian farms. There's no Martian farms. I already told you guys there's no Martian farms because they looked at Mars a long time ago. when they first saw the Martian canals, when they first saw the surface of Mars, there were some astronomers here on Earth that saw those canals and thought, wow, were those constructed by Martians? Now we know that that is a feature of the Martian landscape. It changes with sunlight. It changes with seasons. It has nothing to do with Martian farmers. And, you know...
What about the song?
What song?
No, no, I just... The possibility of sitting down here on Martian farm, do-do-do. I know it sounds silly.
Well, you know, if you wanted to make a joke song out of it...
Yeah.
No, I don't want to make a joke. I'm asking you the potentiality of that, Phil.
The potentiality of what, General?
You were many years a disc jockey. Would a song called Sitting Down Here on Martian Farm have any hope of airplay?
If it was a joke.
No, I'm not saying it's a joke.
We're not talking about it being a joke. The possibility of the Martian farm.
Yes.
If you're trying to ask, if you're asking me, will I get airplay, would I play a record called Martian Farm?
What the hell?
Well, Phil, don't laugh like a... You're laughing like a cackling madman.
You know what I'm saying? You look like you're all wiped out in the brain.
You look like a 5150 is what you look like.
Oh, a 5150. Wow. Who's been listening to the police scanner?
Excuse me. I'm a reporter. I've been around cops, cop stations. Phil, I did hard crime reporting before I got into entertainment. Don't even mess with me on this.
Well, Phil, but you did look like a classic 5150 with the cackle, but the question remains.
Oh, I'm the 5150 with the cackle, but you're the guy asking about Martian Farm and whether that's a viable record? Is that what you're asking me?
For the 9 millionth time...
Easy, General, easy.
For the 9 millionth time, yes, I am.
All right, I'm sorry, General.
Good God almighty.
How many times do I have to ask you, do you think a record called Martian Farm...
A serious record?
Yes.
Yeah, we're talking about a serious record.
All right, without further information, I'm going to say the following answer. No, I wouldn't play it. I don't know anybody that would. I mean, what's it sound like?
Well, assuming that it's a good-sounding record, let's say it sounds like... Name any hit record that you think is currently the hit song of the times, you know.
I don't know what a hit song is. I mean, I know songs that I like.
Well, name a song that you like.
Well, I like that song Alone by Sleeping with Sirens.
All right.
I tell you, I like No Miracles by Kid Ink.
Well, if that's one of those hippity hop.
It is. It's a hop hip, isn't it, Phil?
Yes, it is. It's a hip hop.
Well, I don't know, but all right. Let's say it sounded like that hip, hop hip or whatever you call it. Let's say it sounded like that.
And it was called Martian Farm?
Yes.
Sure, I'd probably play it.
No, but it has the very serious message that there is farming currently going on the surface of Mars, and it is being covered up by the United States government, and there is all likelihood that the farming that's going on Mars involves the farming of intelligent life for the consumption of other intelligent life. In other words, they're eating, cannibalizing other Mars people, Marsman.
Yeah, there's the Marsman.
General,
don't try to general me, and I'm asking you a question.
I wouldn't play any record that's seriously considered a Martian farm where they are growing other Martians.
God.
What?
I gotta go get some cottage cheese.
I'll go with you.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, there's no... Why did you laugh at him, Phil?
Oh, you please, Margaret. There's got to be somebody in this world that understands me. Someone.
Oh, boo-hoo.
If you're telling me that I'm not supposed to laugh at a guy that wants to know about... We're going to be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Let's just flip it back over to QVC. You can't see it, but Phil TV is airing QVC right now, and the only reason we're doing that is so we can look at this chick, the hot chick in the red dress. I could give a damn about what they're selling. I can't afford any of it, and neither can you. It's the world-famous world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'm sorry.
Give it a rest, will you, Phil?
Well, General, you have to understand that if you're going to bring up to me Martian Farm, I'm going to laugh, you know.
I think that it was a legitimate... You know, I'll drop the subject.
All right, well, but welcome back to our program. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Mars rover marks an unexpected anniversary, and we stopped talking about this, but there was a rock. The latest scientist said on Thursday at a news conference celebrating an anniversary none had expected 10 years ago, and that is the 10-year anniversary of Opportunity, NASA's Opportunity, the little rover that bounded onto the surface of Mars, still transmitting data. What is that? Boy, I'll tell you, why can't we make stuff the way we make Mars rovers, man? I would love it.
Amen to that.
Yeah, you gotta make it like a car as good as that.
You know, it proves we can make stuff. Look at this, man. They didn't think this thing would last more than a few years. 10 years later. Same thing is true of Voyager. You remember Voyager?
No, yeah, that melded with a man. You know, it married a man.
Yeah, what?
Don't you remember it married a man?
What do you mean it married a man?
Are you talking about the Star Trek movie?
Well, that was a movie, you know.
Oh, the Star Trek film where the Voyager, yes, it melded. It wasn't sexual, but it did meld.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what they're talking. Is this true?
It's a movie, you guys. It was the movie, the Star Trek movie.
Oh, okay. Well, is that your understanding, Bud?
Yeah, but Mr. Henry's right.
All right.
Well, oh, wow, look at you, checking with Bud, huh?
Well, don't let it blow any uncomfortable air up your skirt.
All right, yeah, that was a movie. So the Voyager did not actually meld with a man. But Voyager was transmitting data for the longest time. As a matter of fact, the last I heard about Voyager was that it was still transmitting data as it was on its way out of the solar system, and it was about to hit the very famous, the belt of asteroids.
The Van Halen belt.
The Van Halen belt.
Yeah, that's the...
No, it's not the Van Halen. It was the Van, I don't know, the Van Johnson belt.
Van Johnson was an actor.
But Bobby Bob had to be Van Halen.
You know, I tell you, for a group of people that are on the air every night and we have access to the internet, man, are we clueless.
Well, Phil, excuse me, but I don't look up all the Van, the only one I know is Van Heflin, no?
Van Heflin, the Van Allen belt.
What? Van Allen? That's stupid.
Oh, I see. Well, yeah, then you're right, it's the Van Halen belt, or maybe the Van Heflin belt.
Phil, I'm telling you, I think it can't be.
It is the Van Allen belt. And the Van Allen belt is a belt of asteroids and meteors. And little Voyager, the little space probe that could, after taking all of those pictures, after going through the entire solar system, I remember when Voyager was launched 30-plus years ago. I remember when Voyager was launched almost 40 years ago. I remember when it was launched. You know.
Well, which is it, Phil?
I remember when it was launched, because when they launched Voyager, they said, and we're sending this thing into space, and it's going to have a picture of a man and a woman. It's going to have Chuck Berry music.
What?
No, I remember that.
Chuck Berry music.
Phil's right. It had rock and roll or something, right?
It had a sampling of all of the music that humans enjoy. It had a map of where we were in the universe. In other words, in case it was encountered by an intelligent species that could... We put this data on Voyager in a manner that we felt an intelligent species could decipher. Of course, how do we know? But nonetheless, when they launched it, it certainly captured the imagination of people back in the early 70s, thinking, wow, you know, we're actually now trying to... This is no longer just a science fiction movie. It's no longer some goofy thing that just UFO freaks are into. I mean, the whole culture is acknowledging the possibility of another intelligent civilization, and we're trying to say hello to them.
What do you mean by Chuck Berry?
It was all kinds of music. It was not Van Halen.
Why wasn't Van Halen?
Because Van Halen wasn't out yet.
Well, all right. That would make sense.
Yeah, it was Chuck Berry, it was Beethoven, it wasn't just rock and roll, it was jazz, it was classical. And then there were sounds. It had the sound of a human speaking, had the sound of a dog barking.
Now, where was this?
Excuse me. I think it was probably on a disc or something that would be recovered. And so off went Voyager. Now, the very first pictures that I remember Voyager transmitting were years later. Now, 5 years later, now I'm in radio in Los Angeles. And I was sitting at my desk over here on K West on Sunset, and I got these pictures. It was a large poster that the guys at JPL had sent me because I was doing some comedy bit that they thought was really funny. And there were huge pictures of Saturn, of Jupiter.
I don't imagine you still have these.
No, I don't. I don't have them. They were gorgeous, though. Gorgeous, huge posters of Saturn. Here comes the name of a planet that you're going to laugh at, bud. Uranus.
Come on, man. That name's been around a long time.
Doesn't matter to Bud. He'll laugh at it. Saturn, Uranus, Jupiter, and I think that's it. Those were the really getting into the outer edges of the solar system. And then, as the 80s progressed, came, I believe, Pluto. Or maybe Uranus was in there somewhere. But then came Pluto and some of those. So that's 30 years it's taken for the Voyager satellite to leave those planets, get to the outer edges of the solar system and beyond. And I think it was a few years ago, maybe in the early part of this of the last decade, where they said, now Voyager is on its way out of the solar system and is encountering this... some kind of a meteor belt, which is the Van Allen, the Van Halen, the Van Heflin, or the Van Johnson belt. Take your pick.
Well, Phil, don't be cynical. I don't know what it's called.
I do, the Van Allen belt.
Okay, well, yeah, thank you very much, Doctor. I didn't know that the... Dr. Hubble, shall we?
Yeah, you think you're Dr. Hubbler, you're not.
Dr. Hubbler, yeah, that's who I am. I'm Dr. Hubbler. I'm not Dr. Hubble. So I think that is the most interesting of spacecraft that we have launched. Now we have this little NASA opportunity. And Dr. Stephen W. Squires, the principal investigator for Opportunity during the NASA news conference, he said there was a rock whose chemical composition was also unexpected, appears in an image taken on January the 8th. There was no rock in a picture taken of the same spot less than 2 weeks earlier. Dr. Squires says this is strange. He added, we don't think anything particularly exotic happened here, meaning there isn't a, you know...
Well, how do you know? It could have been, this is what I mean, a Martian farmer.
Why are you on this Martian farmer kick?
Excuse me, Margaret. How do you know there isn't a farmhand?
If there is a Martian farmhand.
No, General, there's no Martian farmhand because this guy's saying that there ain't, okay? This is a scientist. He said nothing exotic happened. Dr. Squire said most likely rover pirouetted at an uphill location, its lame right front wheel, which has not turned for years, dragged across the rock and flicked it out of the ground to its new location. The scientists have not yet spotted the divot where the rock popped out, but that spot may be obscured by the rover's solar panels. Its lame right front wheel, really. Year after year, Opportunity goes farther than anyone dreamed. The expectation had been that it would drive about a kilometer, 0.6 mile, before dust accumulated on the solar panels and the batteries drained. Unexpectedly, fortuitous winds periodically cleaned off the solar panels, and Opportunity, as well as its twin Spirit, continued to operate. Spirit got stuck in a sand dune in 2009 and then fell silent in 2010, after it was not able to communicate.
Poor Spirit, man. It did its best.
Yes, it did do its best, though.
Right. Well, it's a machine, so...
Well, what difference does it make? It's service to its country.
All right, Spirit. Way to do it, baby. You know, I guess that, you know, the astronauts, they saluted Odyssey when Apollo 13, you know, when they were in Odyssey. And they said, thank you very much, Odyssey. So I guess you do feel for these craft. Instead, about 24 miles along, sending... So this thing has gone 24 miles?
That's what I'm reading.
So Opportunity has gone 24 miles, sending pictures along the way. It's a well-made American vehicle, said Raymond E. Arvison, the deputy principal investigator. Man, ain't that the truth?
Yeah, they ought to make a car as good as that or even gooder than that, but they're not even going to do that.
They don't want to make a car as good as that, man, because that means, guess what? Nobody buys cars. No, no, no. The American consumer won't be that lucky. We are lucky in the Martian cars that we build, but those cars are for the benefit of all of us, and we don't even get to drive them. We can just look at them on TV. Overall, the rover remains in good health despite the lame wheel, two scientific instruments that are no longer working, and a robotic arm with arthritis-like stiffness, according to John Callis, the project manager. He said the rover had also suffered an amnesia moment, probably caused by aging memory chips. Get a load of this. These guys are talking about it like it's real.
Well, you come to rely on these machines as if they're people. And that's why, again, I'm saying, if there's a possibility that a Mars farmhand...
Will you knock it off with the Mars farmhand?
All right, forget it.
Phil, you should speak to the general with respect.
General, I thank you, sir, for your service to our country, but there's no Martian...
I'm not saying... I know it sounds ridiculous, the idea of a bunkhouse, but what I'm trying to say, if there's a place where the Martian sleeps, a Martian bunkhouse, no?
No,
All right.
General, you know, we talk about a Martian bunkhouse, probably if they bunk together.
I didn't say anything about Martians bunking together. You know something?
Hey,
I'm going to go get some more cottage cheese.
You're the one that...
No, I'm not the one. No, I'm not talking about a Martian bunkhouse. We'll take a break here on the Phil Hendry Show and then come right on back, y'all. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. What do you want me to read, John? Welcome back. Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com and also at TuneIn. What do you want?
I want you to read the... Would you turn that filth off, please?
It's the bumper music, if you don't mind.
It's annoying, Phil. I love Pink Floyd, but turn it off. It's filth. Oh, thank God.
Yes, I want you to read this and read it in a very... I'm being very serious, Phil, because if there is, and I'm saying, and it's a very large if there is... Any kind of farmhand.
Will you knock it off with the farmhand?
All right, here, read this.
Hello, my name is Crevice. I am an inhabitant of Mars. My father came here many millions of years ago to plant these crops.
What is this? If there's the only possibility of an intelligent life, Martian life form, is one that knows how to make canals or channels or whatever you call it. Now, I know they haven't proved that, but I'm saying if we can learn the language of these people.
Are you our understanding, General, that we've got...
Phil, don't lecture me.
I'm sorry, sir, but do you understand that we have on that planet now, excuse me, as I've just been indicating, Mars rovers, mechanical robotic vehicles that are out taking pictures, for gosh sakes. They're analyzing rocks, and you're still hanging on this idea that there are Martian farms.
I don't know. That's why I asked you to read this.
And what am I reading here?
That's what you would say if you're Martian, if we can learn their communications and everything.
They're not going to say, hello, my name is... Where'd you get the name Crevice?
Well, it's you know what a crevice is. And it sounds like a Martian name.
Well, why are you using the word crevice?
I was pulling my pants up in the bathroom and I...
You know something, General? You're a child. You know that?
Margaret, you asked me a question. I'm giving you an answer.
You were...
Yeah, I'm the child. Look at who's laughing.
Why are you laughing, Phil?
Wait, you were pulling your pants up in the bathroom and you came up with the name Crevice.
Yes, because I looked at my reflection and...
All right. Here, you want me to read this?
No, I want you to read the eye chart on the wall. Yes, I want you to read that.
Hello, my name is Crevice. I come from Yon Plantation.
Yes.
Just read it.
Hello, my name is Crevice.
Then hold on for a minute. Don't you have any spook music or anything like that?
Well, probably do.
What do you mean spook music?
Just hold on for a minute. Hold your horses. Put on some of that wild stuff that you kids like. And I don't mean you kids. I mean, put on some of that weird music they listen to at a lot of the clubs. What's it called?
Electronic?
Yes. Is this the music that would generally be heard in a gay club?
Yes.
Phil, I'm sorry, but I think that this is the kind of music that would be accompanying any message from any Martian in a bunkhouse. No.
Any Martian in a bunkhouse?
No, not in a bunk, in a farm.
Hello, my name is Crevice. I come from yon plantation. It is there that my fathers landed some 20 million years ago to begin farming and building these canals that you see. Pay no attention to the bunkhouse.
All right, forget it.
No, General.
General, no.
No. Forget it. You're going to laugh. You're going to make fun. Forget it.
Well, you know, the General, very proud man. And the things that he says, it's important to him.
Oh, really? Well, that's just nice, bud.
I think that, General, if you're listening, and you probably are, sitting out there having yourself your cottage cheese and villa wafers.
They're called Nilla wafers. Don't act as if you've got the brain of a cow as well as looking like one.
Excuse me.
Okay, now wait just a minute.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Well, then you... Ow! My left testicle.
I'm back now.
What did you do?
None of your beeswax.
I heard him yell out something about his left testicle.
I heard that, too.
Yo!
All right, I don't know if he still wants me to...
Are you crying?
Yes, I'm crying. No, I don't know if he wants me to still... Hello, my name is Crevice.
Forget it, will you?
My family comes from Yawn Plantation. Okay, thank you very, very deeply, General, for that. I don't know what you did to him, but he did yell out, and he sounded as if he was in pain.
No, he wasn't. He did that to embarrass me. You know full well.
All right, thank you very, very much. In other news, and not a whole hell of a lot of other news, we had a lot of fog today. I don't know if you drive in this crap, but I do. But as bad as the weather gets here, as bad as the weather has been elsewhere, and it has been bad. It's been cold. It's been snowing. People have been snowed in, snowbound, you name it, man. Snowed in. You know, if the snow back east isn't bad enough, if the snow in the Midwest isn't bad enough, if the snow jams all over this country aren't bad enough, then we've got Snowden in Moscow.
Yay!
Thank you. But some of the other weather that has been bedeviling us lazy and simple-minded West Coasters is all of a sudden an attack of fog last night. And we had a fog bank hit the city of L.A. It hit what we call the L.A. Basin, because literally the city of Los Angeles sits in this basin surrounded by these mountains. And you can certainly get your fair share. You could get a lung full of some really sweetly polluting smog if you want, although it was a lot worse in the old days. Or you're going to get some fog. And last night I was all of a sudden reading all these tweets, because I don't live in the basin. I live north of that. I live along the beach up along the Ventura County line. But we get the fog here, man, and we get some pretty weird damn weather. Here last night, all of a sudden, I thought it was raining. And if there's one thing we could use is some rain. Because I heard, first of all, I thought it was somebody trying to break into the studio. While we were finishing up with the podcast last night, I'm hearing what sounds like little feet walking outside.
And it was actually just water dripping from the roof.
Yeah, that's what it was.
But are you talking about little feet sound like a drip?
Might have been a drip. Ha, 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 ha. Huh?
Funny. No, I heard this dripping, and it was Bud that picked up a screwdriver.
Yeah, I know who it was.
So Bud was going to go out and stab the fog, I guess.
No. If you said there's a lot of noise out there, I thought it was a guy creeping around.
Well, in any event, it was actually so, you know, kind of the air was so moist last night that it was dripping off the roof, man, and you could have sworn it had been raining, but it wasn't. And that's what it was, all this freaking moisture. We got a drought going on here in California that I know, I'm not trying to tell you guys we got it bad. You, with the snow, way worse. Our droughts come and they go, man. And this is not the first. And we had a drought, a really bad drought in the 80s, on into the 90s. Now we got another one. We haven't had any rain. We've had had an inch of rain, I think, so far. And January and February are generally when it really starts to pour. And I mean coming down in buckets. So I'm watching the news, and people are now doing rain prayers, you know.
Well, that's to be expected.
Okay, if that's to be expected, then how about a rain dance?
That's weird, Phil. A lot of people are not comfortable with that.
Well, I think that there should be a rain dance, and I don't know who's in charge of the rain dances, but I'd like to see one, you know, happen pretty soon. All right, Margaret, because we don't have a rain dance...
You want me to sing for Rain? Sing this.
Yes. Good night, everybody.
Sometimes it's hard to be a woman.
Sing it right.
I am singing it right.
Given all your love
to just one Mayan.
Oh, well, I... Never mind. Phil Hendry's show.
I was singing.
No, you were croaking. You weren't singing.
Doing things that you don't understand.